Welcome to Falls International Baptist Institute. We are in class 8 of our Bible Doctrines 2 class. So class 8, lecture 8 of Bible Doctrines 2. And we've been dealing with the doctrine of Christ all the way from classes 5, 6, 7, and 8. We've been in the same set of class notes. And by the way, Pastor Dari, I have sent those notes to you. I got a good enough connection today that I think they got to you. We'll see. I had some stuff I sent, and then I had to resend it again. But you should have all the notes from all the classes up to date as of today. But we began studying back in class 5 the life of Christ as a baby. We studied his boyhood. We studied the baptism of Jesus Christ. We studied the temptation of Jesus Christ and the fact that he could not sin, that he was the impeccable Son of God. Impeccable just simply referring to the doctrine, the teaching that Christ could not sin. We studied the ministry of Christ. We looked at his men, the apostles that he picked out to be the apostles of the Lamb. We studied his miracles. We've studied his ministries. We looked how that he presented himself as the prophet and then as the priest, and then in the future he'll present himself as the king. We studied his manifestation and rejection. We studied the suffering of Christ in detail, as well as the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this evening in this lesson, I'm very excited as we get to the rest of the story, and we are going to study the biblical doctrine of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is what differentiates true Christianity from any religion in the world. It's the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. The angel said there at the graveside, "He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where he lay." 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul is declaring the gospel, and 1 Corinthians 15 becomes the final mention, if we could say it that way, or maybe we should say the full mention of the resurrection, the doctrine of the resurrection. We'll study in a later class in principles of hermeneutics as we study the Word of God. There's always a first mention principle, which reveals God's attitude on a subject, the first time a subject is discussed in the Word of God. And then there's a further mention principle, where God progressively reveals truth concerning that particular subject through the Word of God. Then there's a full mention principle, where God will have a passage of Scripture that really deals fully and finally with the subject. And certainly that is 1 Corinthians 15 when it comes to the doctrine of the resurrection. And so 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried." But I want to thank God the story does not stop there. "And that he rose again the third day." And then notice what the Apostle Paul says, "according to the Scriptures." Now there are liberals, there are modernists that deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. But we don't believe liberals and modernists. We believe the Scriptures. We are Bible believers. And so Paul said, "I'm preaching to you the Scriptures, and the Scripture teaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ." Not only was Paul quoting the Scripture, but Paul's letter to the Corinthians became New Testament Scripture. Now, I want to say very dogmatically that the greatest message that Scripture proclaims, the greatest message in all of the Scripture, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest story that's ever told is the life of Christ and the culmination of his life in his death, burial, and resurrection, because that is the gospel message. That is the message of good news to a world who is lost in sin. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the act by which he, of his own will, came back to life bodily after his death and burial. That's important to understand. That's a good definition of the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the act by which he, of his own will, came back to life bodily after his death and burial. And I get that quotation from Bible Doctrines 1 of the Abeka book series. Herbert Lockyer said that the importance of Christ's victory over death cannot be too strongly stressed. And of course, that's what the resurrection of Christ is. It is Christ's victory over death. Christ, in living his life, he showed that he had victory over the power of sin. And then in his death, he showed us that he had the power to forgive sin as he brought redemption through the shedding of his blood. But the victory of the penalty of sin comes through the resurrection of Christ as he conquers death, sin, hell, and the grave. Now let me give you some things about the resurrection then in the lesson that you'll want to remember for the final exam. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was physical in nature. It was a bodily resurrection. And this is an important truth to understand, gentlemen and ladies. It is fundamental to our faith. A man or a woman could never deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ and still claim salvation. In fact, a man who is saved, a woman who is saved, would not dare to deny this fundamental, this foundational doctrine to our Christian faith. The scriptures are very clear that it's not just the influence of Christ that lived on after his death. It's not just the idea of a good man named Christ that lives on after his death. It's not the ideals of Christ that lived on after his death. He literally, physically, bodily rose from the dead. Notice in Matthew chapter number 28, in fact, I'll read the account just for the sake of getting our minds into the context of the lesson. I've got my Bible open to Matthew 28. I want to read verses 1 through 9 of Matthew 28. The Bible said, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here." Hallelujah. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." And notice verse number 9. These verses I'm reading you give you the account of the resurrection of Christ, but we're proving the fact that he physically, that he bodily rose from the dead. Verse 9. "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him." You can't hold a spirit by the feet. You cannot hold a ghost by the feet. You cannot hold an idea or an influence by the feet. They held the feet of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is evidence from Scripture that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead. Then also notice John 20, verses 25 through 28. The Bible said here in this account, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." This is the account where Thomas doubted the resurrected Christ. "But Thomas said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. I'm demonstrating the fact that Jesus Christ appeared in a body to Thomas and said, Thomas, here's my hands. Put your finger in the nail prints. Here's my side. Go ahead. That was riven. That was open for you. Put your hand in my side. I'm telling you, you can't do that to a spirit. You can't do that to a ghost. You can't do that to an influence, an idea, or an ideal. This was the body of Jesus Christ. Again, in Luke 24, verses 36 through 43, the disciples, when Jesus appeared to them, thought that he was a spirit, and he told them, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. That's all I need right there to believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. Jesus defended his own resurrection. He said, look guys, I'm not a spirit, I'm a body. Here's my hands, here's my feet. Then he went on and he asked for meat and he ate in front of them to prove that he was not just a spirit, but that he had a physical body of flesh and bone. Of flesh and bone. So we see that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was a bodily resurrection. It was physical in nature. Then I want you to notice that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was exceptional in nature. His was a unique resurrection, different than any other resurrection that had previously taken place, and previous resurrections had been recorded. But while others, for example, Lazarus experienced resurrection, Christ was exceptional in his resurrection. He was different than any other resurrection. You say, why is that? What made his resurrection so exceptional, so uniquely different from others? Well, let me give you a few things. Number one, he was not raised from the dead and back to life by the power of some other force or being. Well, Lazarus was raised to dead by the power of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ raised Jesus Christ from the dead by the power of Jesus Christ. In John 10, verse 17 and 18, Jesus made the statement, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. He said, guys, I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to die, but I have power to take it again. In other words, I have the power to raise myself from the dead. And that's exactly what he did. When his time came to die, the Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He spoke his life out of existence. And then the Bible is very clear that Jesus, by his own spirit, by his own power, raised himself from the dead, thus making his resurrection exceptional, unique. No other resurrection like the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then let me tell you this, another fact that makes his resurrection exceptional is that while others who rose from the dead went and died again eventually, the Bible is clear that Jesus arose never to die again. Boy, you think about Lazarus. He got raised from the dead, but he died again. And others throughout the scripture that were raised, they died again. But Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead, and he never died, and he never will die again. In Revelation 1 verse 18, the Bible says in the words of Christ, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Christ is very clear. He rose from the dead one time. He'll never ever die again. Let me tell you the other thing that makes his resurrection exceptional. The resurrection of Christ, unlike any other resurrection, guarantees that everyone who believes in him will also experience their own physical, bodily resurrection. In John 11, 25, as Jesus was on his way to Lazarus' grave, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It is the resurrection of Christ that guarantees my resurrection from the dead, that guarantees every born-again believer's resurrection from the dead. And let me tell you this, John 5, verse 28 and 29 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. everyone's going to be raised in a resurrection. You mark that down. They that have done good, in other words, those that have been saved by the grace of God, will come to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil, those that have rejected the good grace of God and the mercy of God, they're coming forward unto the resurrection of damnation. It is the resurrection of Christ that guarantees the resurrection of the living and the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto eternal damnation. I am glad that I am guaranteed resurrection unto eternal life because I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I got saved November 1991, and I am guaranteed that I will raise from the dead if this body dies before the rapture takes place. I thank God for that. Well, let's move on. The resurrection of Christ is not just physical in nature. It's not just exceptional in nature, but it's factual in nature. It's factual. It is a fact. It is not fiction. It is not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. It's not somebody's imagination that was overactive. This is factual. The resurrection was the subject of much prophecy throughout the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, look in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse number 10 and 11. Psalms 16, verse 10 and 11. The Bible said, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I want to make it very clear that that is a prophecy that pertains to the resurrection of Christ. And I know that because that is re-preached in Acts, that very prophecy there in Psalm 16. Jesus Christ died. He was in the grave for 3 days. He did not stay in the grave for the fourth day because God prophesied that his body would not see corruption. And so we find that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is factual in nature. And then again, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 13, in verse number, Acts chapter 13, verse 30, well, let's just start reading in verse 31. The Bible said, let's back up to verse 30. "But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Psalm 16 that we just quoted, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And so we could continue reading, but there in the book of Acts, we find Psalm 16 and Psalm 2 being preached, and they're preaching specifically the resurrection of Christ. I'm saying that the resurrection of Christ is factual in nature. The resurrection of Christ was the subject of prophecy. That proves that it's factual in nature. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was repeatedly declared by Christ in Matthew 16, verse 21, in Matthew 17, verse 9 through 23, and Mark 8, 31, and many other places. Jesus Christ spoke of his own decease, which he would accomplish at Jerusalem. I'm telling you, it's factual in nature. The resurrection of Christ is factual in nature in that it was witnessed by the evidence of an empty grave. In John 20, verse number 8, John saw the empty grave. In Luke 24, 11, and John 20, verses 13 through 15, the women who came to the grave saw that the grave was empty. The resurrection of Christ was witnessed by the evidence of an empty tomb. And then the factual nature of the resurrection of Christ, it's proved in the fact that the resurrected Christ appeared to Peter in Luke 24, verse 34, and then in John 21, and then Acts 10, and in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 8, we find that the resurrected Christ, he appeared to his disciples. He appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He appeared to literally hundreds of others. The Bible is full of examples and evidences to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So we see that His resurrection, it's physical in nature. It's exceptional in nature. It's factual in nature. But then I want to say very clearly, and I want to spend some time here on this point, guys. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foundational in nature. There are, within our Bible, what we would call fundamental doctrines of the faith. And by that we mean doctrine or teaching that is foundational to our belief system. If we take out these fundamental doctrines, we destroy our faith. We destroy our belief system. And so to reject these fundamental doctrines, these cardinal truths, would literally be to reject the faith. It would be to deny the faith. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one such doctrine. The doctrine of the resurrection is of primary value, for on it all the doctrines of grace depend. All of the doctrines of the grace of God depend. They are all built upon the foundation of the resurrection of Christ. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then our faith is vain. If Christ be not raised from the dead, our doctrine is void. It's empty. It's full of nothingness. It's meaningless. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul defended the doctrine of the resurrection, and he teaches us the importance of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's examine verses 12 through 19 of 1 Corinthians 15, where the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" See, you cannot deny a fundamental doctrine. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we also are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Then if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." I found another quote in the Bible Doctrines book that Abeka Book Publishers put out. They made the statement, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the claims of Christianity stand or fall together." And that is true. Remove the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ and you have destroyed the faith. You have destroyed the entire building upon which our faith rests. You've destroyed the entire structure upon which our faith has been formed, upon which our faith has been built. We've been built upon the doctrine of Christ. And so to deny the doctrine of the resurrection is to deny a fundamental, a cardinal truth, a foundational doctrine in the Word of God. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not occur, then Jesus Christ could not be the Son of God, nor could He be the Savior of the world. He would be a liar if the resurrection did not occur. Jesus Christ, you see, people all the time that try to tell us that Jesus Christ, He did not raise from the dead, but they tell us that He was a good man. That's impossible. Jesus Christ claimed that He was the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ claimed over and over again that He would raise Himself from the dead. In Matthew 16, verse 21, the Bible said, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Jesus said that He would be raised again the third day. Now, if that didn't happen, then He's an imposter. If that didn't happen, then He's a liar. I prefer to believe God. Let God be true, and every man a liar. In Matthew 17, verse 9, again, the Bible said, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man. This is after the Mount of Transfiguration and what took place there. He said, I don't want you telling anyone until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Well, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, he's a liar because he said he was going to raise from the dead. In Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23, the Bible said, while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And when he told it this time, the Bible said they were exceeding sorry. I'm telling you, if Christ did not raise from the dead, then he's a liar. But I submit unto you, the doctrine of the resurrection, it's fundamental to our faith. To deny the resurrection is to deny the very words of Christ. It's to deny the fact that Christ is real, that Christ is God, that Christ is truth, and if he's not the way, the truth, and the life, then he's not the way or the life. If he is not truth, if he can lie, then he could not be God, and he could not be the Savior of the world. I want to tell you that it's foundational to our faith. The resurrection of Christ was the theme of the apostles' preaching in the book of Acts. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not occur, then their preaching was a lie and our faith is vain. Because in Acts chapter 2, verses 24 and in verse 32, they preached the resurrection. In Acts chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16 and verse 26, they preached the resurrection. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, they preached the resurrection. You'd have a hard time finding in the book of Acts a time where they preached the gospel and did not include the resurrection, because the gospel is part and parcel to the resurrection. In fact, one of the reasons that our pulpits are so powerless today is because preachers preach about the death of Christ all the time, but they fail to mention the resurrection of Christ. Roman Catholics still have him hanging on the cross. He's not dead. He's alive. Amen. And I praise God for it. Acts 13, verses 30 through 37, they preached the resurrection of Christ. Acts 17, 31, they preached the resurrection of Christ. I'm saying that the apostles, their theme message was the resurrection of Christ. Now, either he lied and they lied, or he told the truth and they told the truth. But if he lied and they lied, then our Bible's no good. And I refuse to believe that. I believe the Bible. The resurrection of Christ was not just the theme of the apostles' preaching. It was the theme of the apostle Paul's epistles, his letters to New Testament churches. If the resurrection did not occur, then not only is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrong, where Jesus tells about his resurrection. Not only is the book of Acts wrong, where the apostles preach on the theme of the resurrection. But all the New Testament epistles are wrong, because in all the New Testament epistles, the resurrection of Christ, and just about every one of them, is spoken of. In Romans 4, verse number 24, we find Paul preaching the resurrection of Christ. In Romans 6, verse number 4, verse number 9, we find Paul preaching the resurrection of Christ. In Romans 7, verse 4, we find the resurrection of Christ being spoken of. In Romans 8, verse 11, and in Romans 10, verse 9, and in 1 Corinthians 6, 14, and in 1 Corinthians 15, the entire chapter, but especially verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, Galatians 1, verse 1, Ephesians 1, 20, Colossians 2, 12, 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, 2 Timothy 2, 8, all of these passages of Scripture that we could go to and read, they all speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are wrong. Jesus is wrong. The apostles of the book of Acts are wrong. The epistles are wrong. Revelation, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. It's wrong. If the resurrection of Christ is no good, then we got to throw the entire New Testament out, because it's wrong. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is no good, we're following the wrong man. We're following the wrong leader. But I can tell you with much confidence, and I can tell you with much joy, and I can tell you with much boldness that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. His grave is empty. He is not there. He is risen. And that's foundational. That's fundamental to our faith. A man who denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a liar and an apostate. He has denied the faith. Now, remember a few weeks ago we talked about the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles of the Lamb, and how that 11 out of the 12 apostles, how they were martyred for their faith. I'm talking about out of the original 12, or excuse me, 10 out of the original 12, Judas Iscariot hung himself, and John the Beloved, they attempted to martyr him, but never did, okay? They didn't get the job done, but 10 out of those original 12 were martyred. Now I want you to listen to this following quote. The resurrection was, quote unquote, the belief that turned a heartbroken followers of a crucified rabbi into the courageous witnesses and martyrs of the early church. This was the one belief that separated the followers of Jesus from the Jews and turned them into the community of the resurrection. You could imprison them, flog them, and kill them, but you could never make them deny their conviction that on the third day he rose again. Michael Green made that quote in the preface to a book that's entitled Why I Believe in the Resurrection of Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. Those men who fled the scene at Calvary, they were given a second chance, if we could say it that way, after the resurrection. They saw the resurrected Christ. They were converted to the resurrected Christ. And those men never fled. They never fled in cowardice again. Those men gave their lives to preach the fact that Jesus lived the perfect life, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. They went to their graves refusing to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They loved not their lives to the death because they did it, as Hebrews 11 would say, to obtain a better resurrection. So there's so many truths that the resurrection of Christ points to. Not only do we study tonight and have learned tonight about the physical resurrection of Christ and the fact of its exceptional nature and its unique nature, that it's one of a kind and that it's factual and all the other things that we looked at here this evening. But I want to tell you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to close with this thought, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the spirit of holiness according to the book of Acts and according to the book of Romans. And I want to tell you that when the resurrected Christ comes to live on the inside of a man, he brings that same power into the man that raised up Christ from the dead. I want you to listen closely to what I'm saying. A man who says, I'm saved by the grace of God, but can never have power over sin in his life, something is wrong. A woman who says, I've been saved by the grace of God, but there is no change in their life, something is wrong. Because if we have the power of the resurrected Christ on the inside, Romans chapter 6 is clear. Romans 6 verse 1 said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, now here he's speaking of spiritual baptism. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Spiritually in our heart we died to sin when we were baptized into the family of God. And he said, so know ye not that some of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Friend, I have resurrection power on the inside of me that gives me victory over sin, that gives me victory over the dominion of sin. There is not a Christian in this world who has to say, I couldn't help myself, or the devil made me do it. If you're saved by the grace of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you the power to have victory over sin. I want to say the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, is more evidence to the fact that Christ rose from the dead, in the fact that we have a body of believers who meets and worships all around the world. Why? Because they're built on the fact that there's a man named Christ who historically lived. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. We believe that. God changed our lives. God brought us into this wonderful thing that's called the church. Amen. And you and I, we have the ability to live in victory over sin because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the capstone of our religion, if we could say it that way. It's the capstone of our faith. And everything that we've discussed in this series on the doctrine of Christ, from the virgin birth of Christ, to the deity of Christ, to the humanity of Christ, to the ministry of Christ, and the miracles of Christ, to the death, burial, and the bloody suffering of Christ, now the resurrection of Christ, this is all part and parcel with the doctrine of Christ. And if the Bible is clear in 1 John, if a man does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God, because it's foundational, it's fundamental to our faith. So there we have it, the doctrine of the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men, when you go to your pulpits, preach the resurrected Christ. Don't just preach his life. Don't just preach the Beatitudes. Just don't preach the miracles. Just don't preach his ministries. Just don't preach his death. And just certainly don't end with his burial. Preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. We're going to take a few minute break and come back with our class on the historical books.